Diana J. Anthony of Big Rich Realty and Bolt Equities Incorporated is a hardworking broker with 23 years of experience in Ventura County from Westlake to Carpinteria. Experience isn't expensive, it's priceless. Diana started her real estate career in Hawaii and then in Malibu. Her specialties are educating buyers and sellers about the pitfalls in this ever-changing market. Additionally, she has extensive experience with short sale transactions, foreclosures, commercial, and investment property. When you hire Diana, you will be gaining a friend for life with a heart of gold and a world of knowledge. Visit her website, dianajanthony.net, or call 805-340-6135. That's 805-340-6135. California BRE 01190308.
Start Again, Not Over was founded by Dr. Leticia Jimenez, a leading local empowerment coach in Ventura County. Dr. Leticia Jimenez works with men and women who are struggling to remember their true authentic self and purpose. Divorce, career changes, loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, and other personal and professional challenges keep many of us from moving forward. Start again, not over. Revive your true authentic self and start living a life of meaning, happiness, and fulfillment. Visit startagainnotover.com and sign up to receive your free 30-minute coaching session with Dr. Leticia Jimenez. Join the Sano movement and start living the life you were meant to live.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Let's get it started in here.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And of course, we are here. I'm glad to be back. Spent a little bit of time with my new granddaughter. That would be number four. I tell you, what a blessing, what a blessing. And so I'm really excited to be here. We've got an amazing show for you today. I'm so excited to be involved in so many things that are happening right now. And of course, this weekend is the Thomas Fire Benefit Concert. If you haven't already bought your tickets, please do. It's going to be an amazing, amazing turnout with amazing people. And
it's sold out.
It is sold out. The whole thing is sold out. It's okay, done. New VIP
yep.
was sold out, done.
Zippity
wow,
did
we
I,
did a good job. All
they,
right.
They did a great job promoting, and what a fun show it's going to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, and for an amazing cause. There's so many people out there that, you know, either don't have insurance or don't have enough or anyways, all that stuff is stuff that I love to be a part of. Another thing that I love to be a part of, and I'm really excited, they're going to be my first guest today, is the American Heart Association. And of course, that is Go Red for Women Luncheon. And, you know, all of you know that my mom passed away last year. It's coming up, in fact, the day before Valentine's Day, and it was a heart attack. We don't take these things seriously as women. We're always taking care of everybody else but ourselves. And so this is going to be something amazing, and I hope that you can all be there with me to celebrate and to really find out more information so we don't have to go down this road. So this is something every year I change my direction and my passion for working with a nonprofit, and this year is American Heart Association. So on February 16th at the Four Seasons in Westlake, I would love you to go there for their Go Red for Women luncheon. And, of course, you can buy tickets at goredvc.heart.org. So with that, just a couple things that I want to mention. And of course, I always like to start my show with something uplifting. Having a soft heart in a cruel world is courage, not weakness. With that, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And of course, our first guest this morning is Katie Beck of the American Heart Association and the Director of Women's Cardiology at UCLA Health is Dr. Janky Shah. We're going to be talking with them. We're going to find out some more information. And again, if you miss any part of these shows, you can always go to my podcast. And of course, that is KimPaganoShow.com is my website, or iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show. All of them are there. Then we're going to talk with Randy. This is going to be a hard name, Tara Borley. And of course, he wrote a book, The Secret Lives of Janet Auchincloss and her daughters, and of course, Jackie, Janet, and Lee. So we're going to find out a little bit about that. And then last, I have Brent Phillips and his book, The Formula of Miracles. And so we've got a great show. We're here all the way till 8 o'clock. That is just our first show. And please, in fact, Tom, you want to talk about some of our great giveaways?
Always some fantastic ones. How about Rubicon Theater's presentation of Buyer and Seller? It runs through February 11th. Our good friend Brian McDonald is the star. It's a one-man show. Rave reviews for this one. It's really funny. We also have the Thomas Fire Benefit Concert, but the most you can do to support, and it's a really big thing, folks, you could go for a walk around Ventura. You could do it this afternoon. You're going to have a great time. You're going to hear the music and support local businesses. The downtown area is going to be crazy with fun. So you can at least go down there, shop, go to a restaurant, and have a great time. Hometown Buffet, taking the stress out of your new year. And you can do that January into February, all the way through to Valentine's. Lots of great food there at Hometown Buffet. And then we also have...
It's a Cerule, okay. And it's a new repair and renew. You help your body. So it's like actually a function of the stem cells. So it's kind of neat. It's a whole natural thing that we've been working with. And so anyways, go to cerule.com for
I shall,
more
and I'll find out what
I
it
know,
is.
I know, there
See?
You go. Exactly.
I learned things from Kim Pagano.
All right. And of course, really quick shout out. Valentine's Day is around the corner, and I want to do a little shout out for Lorraine Crane. Lorraine is a leading transformation coach in Los Angeles area, and some of us, we just need to find our blind spots, moving beyond and self-imposed limits. And so I'd love to just share her with everyone. And of course, you can text me and email me to find out her information. But of course, Lorraine Crane, and of course, Finding Blind Spots, Moving Beyond Our Self-Imposed Limits. So with that, and she's located in Westlake. So anyways, I'd love to start our interviews today. And of course, our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Let's bring our first two guests on. Katie Beck, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
You are great. Okay. And also Dr. Janky Shah, is that correct?
Yes.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me. Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. And of course, you are the Director of Women Cardiology at UCLA Health, correct?
Correct.
Thank you so much. What an important topic, and what an important, I'm so excited to be a part of this, to share with all the women out there that we can make a difference right now. So let's just start off. How prevalent is cardiovascular disease with women?
Well, first of all, I really want to say to you my condolences for your mom and dying of heart disease. You know, unfortunately, it is very, very common. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. It actually claims more lives than all cancers combined. And in the United States, one woman every 80 seconds dies of heart disease or related conditions like stroke. But unfortunately, a lot of women still think less than 20% about 20% of women still think that they're going to die of something other than heart disease. But reality is women are developing and dying of heart disease at younger ages.
So sad. I know. My mom, she had a couple stents. She was seeing her doctor. Everything was fine. And at first I thought, what is she not telling me, you know? But it was unexpected. And they, even when I called the doctors, they were, you know, like, no, she just passed all her tests. Everything was fine. So how do we know? I mean, women, you know, we always think, oh, it's just a headache or it's just a backache or it's a jawache, but we don't really take it seriously, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, heart disease in women can be easy to miss because the symptoms of heart disease are often different than what men experience. So we always think of the classic Hollywood heart attack as a man clutching to his chest and falling to the ground. However, women can have much less dramatic symptoms. They may not even have chest pain. They may just have isolated, as you said, headache or jaw pain, belly pain, arm pain, shortness of breath, or something as sort of vague as fatigue or nausea. So women just really need to be aware that their symptoms could be different and seek attention if they simply feel that something's not quite right. We women have great instincts, and if you feel that something's not right, it's worth checking out.
But sometimes you feel like, gosh, I don't want to go to the hospital just in case it's no big deal. I mean, when is enough enough and when is it too much?
Right. I mean, I come across that in my practice every day. Women tend to be more reticent about seeking attention, but I really think that women need to know that if something really feels not quite right, they don't feel good, something feels off, it's better to be safe than sorry. A heart attack is a life and death emergency, so it's not the time to be shy or reticent about seeking help.
I totally agree. So what is the one thing that women can do for their cardiovascular health?
I think it's really important for women to recognize that, first of all, 90% of women over the age of 40 have at least one risk factor for developing heart disease. And what's scary is half of women who come in with their first heart attack never have prior symptoms. Mm. So what that really underscores is the importance of prevention. So we really recommend that women get a well woman visit or a heart checkup every year after the age of 40. And during that visit, this is different than coming in when you have a sore throat or any other symptoms you're having your internist evaluate. And I would actually recommend seeing a cardiovascular women's center for this, because we do develop these centers to really identify the unique symptoms and unique presentations of women. And during that checkup, it should be a very focused visit, looking for heart disease risk factors, talking about your family history, talking about your gynecologic history, looking at your important numbers like cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugars, your weight, and really getting a sense of whether you need any further testing to look for heart disease.
Now, I know a lot of times that you can have almost like anxiety, correct? And kind of mistake that for that. Is that something that, how do you know the difference?
So, absolutely. Anxiety can really, the symptoms of anxiety can really be very similar to heart issues. You can get heart palpitations, you can get some tightness in your chest. And so really it comes down to getting a really good history, getting an EKG, doing some tests like a stress test and see whether or not there is any underlying disease.
Okay. And again, for anybody that's just waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way here on the Kim Pagano Show, we're talking with Dr. Jenky Shah. And of course, she is the director of women's cardiology at UCLA Health Center. And, you know, this is such a huge thing. I don't know. We don't think about it. We just take our lives for granted. We service our cars. We service our homes, our heaters, our everything. But why are we so last on our list?
That's a great question. I talk about women's heart health all the time, and I use the exact analogy that you do, that we take our cars in for service before there's a problem. And knowing that heart disease is most likely to be the problem that kills us as women, we should take it seriously and get our regular checkups.
So after 40, you're saying we should all have our own cardiologist and kind of regularly go in and check it, especially my mom, you know, passing away from this. And then, of course, my dad has heart disease right now, too. Is that something that I should be? How often?
I think everyone over the age of 40 should see their internist and get a checkup and see what their heart risk is. And anyone who's deemed to be at risk for heart disease should see a cardiologist. And you especially, because with a family history, once you have a family member who's had a heart attack or a stroke, you are at higher risk for those events yourself. And so you can't change your genes at this point. It's too late for that. But certainly knowing that history, your doctor should be much more aggressive about screening you for heart disease and doing some tests to see what could be prevented.
Wow. Okay. Sounds wonderful. I thank you so much for sharing this here on our show. And is there a website or something that our listeners can go to?
Yeah, the American Heart Association has a great website. It has a lot of information. Go www.goredforwomen.org is a great website that encourages women to be aware of heart disease in women, and also provides ways to help share the information and save more lives.
I love it. And of course, being February, being Heart Month, this is something that we all, I mean, if there's a way and a reason that we can share, or, you know, make more people a little bit more conscious about all the things that we can do to make a difference, we want to do that. Katie, can I have you for 1 second? What can you tell us about the luncheon?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. So as you mentioned, it's Friday, February 16th at the Four Seasons in Westlake Village, and we're looking forward to a great morning. It's a very inspirational and empowering event with many, many women and men all dressed in red and spirit for the cause. We have some great educational breakout sessions that start at 11 o'clock in the morning, where you can learn more from many of our local physicians and cardiologists like Dr. Shaw. And then we have a wonderful inspirational luncheon that starts at 12 o'clock, where we get to meet and celebrate some of our survivors, local survivors that here in Ventura County who have survived both either a heart attack or stroke.
Great. And so you do welcome men. This is not just a woman's luncheon.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Men are welcome too. All men have women that they love in their lives.
I love it. I love it. All right. And can you give out that website again one more time?
Absolutely. So for more information or to purchase a ticket, it's goredvc.heart.org.
Okay, perfect. I thank you so much, both you ladies. And I can't wait to be a part of this and to continue to bring awareness to, you know, lots of women out there for their cardiovascular health.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Kim, and happy Heart Health Month.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you, too.
Thank you so much for
sharing
this with your listeners. It's such an important topic, and we really appreciate what you're doing.
You got it. Thank you very much. All right, we are going to take a really quick break. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And, of course, I'd love to give away some Rubicon Theater tickets, and, of course, buyer and seller. If you have not already seen it or are looking to want to go see it, Brian McDonald was in here a couple weeks ago, and let me tell you, it is going to be amazing. I was gone and he was like, are you coming to the grand opening? And I'm like, no, I'm with my granddaughter, but I will be there this week. So anyways, I'd love to share a pair of tickets with you right now. Call us at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ventura Water has partnered with The Kim Pagano Show to deliver the message that saving water is a California lifestyle. Ventura Water offers many resources designed to help our customers save. Looking to replace your high water use lawn with a beautiful drought-tolerant garden? Apply for the WaterWise 2.0 incentive program to receive $2 per square foot of turf. When was the last time you updated your irrigation system? Ventura Water now offers free smart irrigation controllers that use local weather data, soil, and plant types to create a customized watering schedule. For more information about Ventura Water, visit us at www.venturawater.net or call. That's 805-667-6500.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs. Insurance. Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for being here. We are here all the way till 8 o'clock. And John Blystone just walked in. And thank you for being here.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We've got lots of fun things we're talking about and lots of important things. And our next guest is Randy. Is it Tara Borelli? Barely?
Tara Borelli.
Tara Borelli. There we go. Okay. I was almost close. And welcome to our show. And tell us a little bit about who you are and this amazing book that you wrote.
Well, I'm J. Randy Tara Borelli, and I am a Kennedy historian. This is my third book about the Kennedys. And my first one was Jackie Ethel Joan, Women of Camelot in 2000. And then I did After Camelot in 2010. And now this one, Jackie, Janet, and Lee, is about Jackie Kennedy and her mom, Janet Auchincloss, and her sister, Lee Radziwill. So basically, this is looking at the other side of the family.
How different is it to the other side of the family? Because I think I had you on talking about the other one. I briefly remember that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, we have kind of overlooked the fact that Jackie actually had another side of the family, because the Kennedys are so big and imposing in our history, you know, that we tend to just think of Jackie as a Kennedy. And I wanted to put her in context, you know, because she didn't come out of a vacuum and was just suddenly a Kennedy. You know, she came to the Kennedys, you know, a fully formed, intelligent, amazing, creative woman who was raised by a cultured, formidable mother and had a family that loved her and, you know, molded who she was in so many ways. And these people, the Auchinclosses and the Bouviers, are the subject of my book. And I think people are surprised to know that Jackie had a half-sister named Janet and a half-brother named Jamie. I mean, they all had the same mom. And these are people in history who've been completely overlooked, and in many ways by design. They did not want to be high profile. You know, they did not want to be Kennedys. They wanted their own private lives, and they got them. And now it's my job to to sort of break the spell and tell people who they were.
You know, it's absolutely amazing to me how the Kennedy image and mystique just. It won't go away. It's amazing. It's like they're like the Elvis of politics. It's just there's always another twist or another part of that family. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, especially now when you take a look at Joseph Kennedy III and his Democratic response to the President's State of the Union the other night, and you saw sort of a new rising star of the Kennedy family in Joseph, and he did, I thought, a fantastic job and really exposed himself for the first time to the nation as the up-and-coming Kennedy. And who knows what his future will be, but if you watched his presentation, you saw that, you know, he's definitely a Kennedy. He's Bobby Kennedy's grandson. He's, you know, he's the great-nephew of President Kennedy. And he is maybe the next big Kennedy on the horizon.
Yeah, they have like an amazing farm system. It's unbelievable.
That's a nice way to look at it. There you
yeah.
go. I love it. I do. So, you know, I always kind of open up to it with chapter, like mother, like daughter. How mm-hmm. close were they?
Very, very close. I mean, you know, it's a 64-year history in terms of Jackie's relationship with her mom. And it's an 80-year history, the entire book, from, you know, Janet's birth to death. And people ask me all the time, what were they like? Well, you know, if you look at your own family and you think about your siblings or your parents, and somebody were to ask you, what is that person like? The answer is, well, it depends when you caught them, you know. At what time in history are you talking about? And these women, like all people, were different ways at different times. And sometimes they were very close and supportive of each other, and sometimes they were competitive, and sometimes they had their issues, and other times they got past them. And that's what I love about this story, is the humanity of it and the way that I hope that my readers can relate to it. And I have found in talking about it for the last couple of days, it just came out a couple of days ago, that people have told me, wow, you know, my mom was the same way, or wow, my sister, my brother was exactly the same way. So we can kind of relate to them on that level.
Wow. Now, I know there's a little bit of betrayal in there. Talk to us about that.
There's a good deal of betrayal.
Yeah.
And, you know, it comes, I think, from the family mandate, you know, that the mother wants to ask the girls, you know, do you want to know what the secret to happily ever after is? And they both said, yes, you know, please tell us. And she said, money and power. Well, if that's your mandate, you know, and going forward in life and choosing a mate, it's not going to go well. And I think that's probably one of the object lessons of this book is that, you know, money and power is all fine and good, but it does have its consequences.
They
both became involved with a powerful rich man, Aristotle Onassis, both sisters, Lee first, and then Jackie ended up marrying him. And it's a very long, complicated story that I outline in the book, but Janet did her best to keep this man out of the lives of her daughters, and she was unsuccessful in that regard.
Debutante society?
Sure. You know, both girls, both Jackie and Lee, were debutantes, and back then, you know, that was a big deal. I mean, you would get in the newspaper, and you'd have this sort of a coming out, and it was around your 16th birthday, and you wore a ball gown, you had a big party, and you got your paper, you became the deb of the week, and
rush into marriage?
I'm sorry?
I said, were they rushed into marriage?
I wouldn't say rushed into marriage. Janet was particularly careful about the men that she found suitable for her daughters. But they did marry young. I mean, Lee was only 19 years old when she married her first husband, and that was Michael Canfield.
It always amazes me, that... How do you get all this information? Is it just, you know, you're always interested in this family? Obviously, like, you know, John just said, there's a lot of them, you know. But what, you know, were you really young and you just always had an interest instead of history for families?
I've written 20 books and only three of them have been about Kennedys.
Okay.
But I have to say that I love writing about families. I mean, I've written about the Hilton dynasty, and I've written about the Sinatras, and I've written about the Jacksons. And, you know, I think that family stories are really sort of my forte.
The most similarity that you seem to find in all these families that are, you know, on the spotlight, I would say, living in a fishbowl?
Well, what I have found to be most true is that when you take away the entitlement and the money and the wealth and the success and the power, and you actually sort of, you know, break it down to the human condition, we're all the same.
Right.
And that's what really strikes me, you know, is that, and that's really been my job, is to sort of show people, you know, that we all share the same human experience. And just because you have money doesn't mean that you don't have issues with your siblings, so you don't have problems with your mother, and that these things can be conquered, and you can have a good relationship with your family members despite whatever life throws at you, but you have to work at it.
That's interesting.
And these women, you know, they worked at their relationship their entire lives, and they were often not successful, but they often were successful, and I think that's like a lot of us.
Mm. Yeah, I think Jackie kind of came past all of it. After a certain amount of time, she became her own person, so to speak, because all they ever showed was the little, you know, the picture of her sad in the plane, Lyndon mm-hmm. Johnson's getting sworn in, and I think over time she kind of developed her own identity away from that.
She did, but, you know, that's the public persona of Jackie. She definitely did. But privately, at the end of Janet Auchincloss's life, when Janet was suffering from Alzheimer's, it was Jackie who was her primary caretaker, as I wrote in my book.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so even though publicly she seemed to have gone way far beyond, you know, all expectations of who she might have been and who she could have been under the worst of circumstances, in truth, she was still connected to her family.
Mm-hmm.
And she was still there for her mom during the Alzheimer's period of her life. And Jackie believed that her mom was a victim of elder abuse when she was married to her third husband. And Jackie did everything she could do to protect her mom, and that's a good third of my book at the end. It's a very complicated story that I didn't know about at all until I began researching this book.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Very interesting. So let me ask you, how many, you said you wrote a lot of books. What are your other books about?
I've written biographies. Well, I've written three biographies of Michael Jackson, who was a friend of mine. And I've written about Madonna, Elizabeth Taylor, Grace Kelly. And as I said, the Hiltons. Wow. I've written three books about Diana Ross.
Wow.
I've written about Cher. So I've
Wow.
I've written a lot of books.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Some of my, I mean, you know, it is that it's now, I mean, like we talked about, what is it that, if you think of all your books, you know, what is it that comes to your mind that for each, you know, like for the Jackie, Janet, and Lee, what's the biggest thing that comes to your mind for them?
Well, again, you know, for me, it really has to do with, you know, not so much their stories in and of themselves, but what can we take away?
Right.
You know, what
can
what
we
is,
learn?
What is,
there
you, know,
you go.
What is the point? I mean, if I don't want to write books about famous people just because they're famous. You know, I just think that's a waste of time. I like to write books about famous people who can teach us something.
Love that. Okay. Yeah. So what is the biggest thing that we can learn from Jackie, Janet, and Lee?
I think the biggest thing that we can learn is that you got to stick with it. You know, when you have difficult family circumstances, you know, you cannot give up.
Right.
And one of the things that I was disappointed about in the relationship between Jackie and Lee, and since I'm tethered to history, I can't change, you know, the outcome of their story, but if I could have, I would have wanted to sit them down and tell them, you need to have a good conversation.
I love it.
Like, you need to, you don't have the candor between the two of you that you need. And there were so many times along the way when I was writing this book when I wanted to say, oh my gosh, would you please just sit down and talk about Onassis?
Right.
You know, would you please just sit down and come to some terms about this and that? And they didn't have that kind of communication, and I think that you need that in a family, and maybe that's an object lesson from this book, is that you need to communicate.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, I mean, that just kind of goes along with what we've talked in here before about disposable, you know, relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we knew that we had to be with our family forever, like, you know, you, what do they say? You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Well, guess what? You know, like, just try to work with them, make them the best, and not always see the worst in everyone.
So, I so love that you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, what a great sort of mandate for all of us.
Well,
I love that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, always a pleasure to share what you're doing. And where can my listeners find your book?
It's available everywhere, but I would love for you to go to Amazon and buy it. And please do, you know, because I think there's a lot to be learned from this story.
I love it. Thank you again. And I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, please share our show with everyone. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking with Brent Michael Phillips. And, of course, the understanding part one of the formula for miracles. And, again, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And we'll be right back.
DUI attorneys and expert criminal lawyers at the law offices of Douglas H. Ridley in Moore Park and Simi Valley, California, are dedicated to devoting their entire resources to defending you. As your defense attorneys, they're on your side during one of the most difficult periods in your life. Call now at no charge and sleep better tonight. It's time to get Southern California's expert team on your side with the DUI attorneys and criminal lawyers at the law offices of Douglas H. Ridley, 805-208-1866. That's 805-206-1866. Visit www.duiattorneys-ca.com for more information.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until, that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
It goes without saying, we women take care of our families, but often fall short of taking care of ourselves. Heart health may not be on the top of our to-do list, but advocating for yourself is the secret weapon to preventing heart disease and stroke. Power lies within knowledge to make real change, which can reduce the risk for heart disease and stroke by as much as 80%. Join us in supporting the American Heart Association at the Go Red for Women's Luncheon on Friday, February 16th. To reserve your seat, visit us at goredvc.heart.org. That's goredvc.heart.org.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here. And again, we've got a big show for you. Our next guest is Brent Michael Phillips. Understanding, part one, the formula for miracles. Love this, where science reveals the secret of spirit. Brent, are you there? Brent?
Yes, I am. I am here.
How
excited
are you?
To be here.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today. So tell us a little bit about who you are. And of course, is this your first book? Tell us.
I've actually written several books.
Okay.
But this is the newest one and I think the most important.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah, it actually turned into three books because it was so long. I had so much to say. I'm like, okay, we got to jump.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then we'll kind of walk into your book.
Sure. I want to admit to everybody right off the bat, I am perhaps the world's most unlikely healer. I never thought I'd be a healer, a spiritual teacher, showing people how to unlock their power for instant healing and higher consciousness, because really, if you get to know me, I'm just your typical geek.
You know what is interesting that you said that is, honestly, it's like I've been doing hair forever. And if I would have ever in my wildest dreams thought I would be a radio host, I don't even know how it even happened, you know? And so to me, I totally get that. How did it happen for you?
Well, for me, it started when I went to college at MIT and I discovered the internet. And I was like, wow. And of course, that sounds funny today, but back in the 80s, nobody had ever heard of the internet.
Right.
And I saw this worldwide computer network, and I thought, wow, this will change the world.
Yes.
And so I made that the focus of my studies. I ended up in graduate school at MIT, and during my time in grad school, I was very proud to become one of the people that literally created the foundations of the modern internet.
Hmm. And what do you mean exactly by that?
I was in the Telemedia Networks and Systems Group under Professor David Tenenhaus, and we created a gigabit local fiber network, as well as software for real-time video that ran on internet protocol.
Interesting.
And
okay.
So in regular person speak, we were the first group ever to send live video over the internet in 1994 over the web.
Wow. Amazing. Yep. Amazing. Okay. So how is it that the MIT-trained software engineer became a healer?
Well,
how'd you get into the healing part?
There's that old joke that if you want to make God laugh, all you have to do is tell him your plans.
I like that. Okay.
And when the internet boom hit in the mid-90s, I found myself as one of the world's leading internet experts. I had literally helped to create this thing. And so I left MIT figuring I'll recruit my best friend, we'll start an internet company, I'll work really hard for a couple of years, and we'll sell it for millions of dollars.
Right.
And we got off to a good start. The first year, I did the first website for the launch of the Sony PlayStation in the summer of 1995. I did the first website for Disneyland and for Nissan Motors and a lot of other high-profile projects. but the strain of bootstrapping this company destroyed my health. After a couple years of 100-hour work weeks, my body started to break down, and I had really severe pain.
Okay. What about your family life?
It was pretty bad because all I did was work.
Okay, because that will take over. I've been there, done that.
Yep.
you get into something because what do they say? If you're doing what you love, you're not working. But
yep.
We have to like have that little cipher in between. You know, we're on top of the world. We're just, God, it's almost like a little addicting, correct?
It is. I was a workaholic, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a divorce on my resume. As
sorry to hear that. Yeah. Me too. Okay,
for the same reason.
Yeah. We're there.
Yep, long story short, I started having severe pain. It got so bad, I had to move in with my parents because some days I needed help cutting and eating food.
Wow. And were you diagnosed with anything?
I was. They told me I had the worst case of repetitive stress injuries they'd ever seen.
Interesting.
It wasn't until 15 years later I found out I also had Lyme disease.
Oh, okay. My oldest daughter had Lyme disease.
Yeah, I had it for almost 17 years before I was able to clear it. And I also found out years later I was suffering from severe chemical poisoning from aspartame.
Oh, really? Did you drink soda, diet soda all the time?
Okay. Yes, I used to. Yes.
Okay.
In high school and college and during the startup.
Like when you say all the time, because it's interesting, I just started doing the little Weight Watcher thing. And, of course, that's free. And I used to say, I don't do anything diet. I'll do the whole thing or nothing. And here I am going Coke Zero. I love it. You know. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. There's aspartame in there. And so, you know, I think everything in moderation. But, you know, I don't know. What's your thought?
Avoid it. Avoid it.
Okay.
It literally almost killed me.
Really?
Yep.
Because you see all those things on the internet of people with rheumatoid arthritis and all that stuff, and a lot of times it's from that.
Let's just say that the United States is the only major industrialized nation where it is legal.
Really?
It is illegal in Europe, in Russia, in China, in almost the rest of the whole industrialized world. It is illegal. It is a neurotoxin. It was derived from a chemical warfare agent.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But anyhow.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that.
I got a lot to share.
Okay.
That's just a little piece of it.
There you go.
So long story short, I spent 3 years in conventional treatment.
Okay.
And I didn't get better. I got worse.
Ooh. Okay.
And when I was 27 years old, I finally got in to see the top doctor at Curl and Job, which is the best physical therapy clinic in L.A. where all the Olympians and professional athletes go.
Right.
Frank Job.
I expected he'd have a cure for me. Instead, he said, Brent, your life is over. You'll never work again. You're not only incurable, you're not treatable.
Wow.
And he put me on permanent disability.
Okay.
And asked me, son, is there someone that can take care of you until you die?
Oh, wow.
Really?
At 27.
I'm so sorry to hear that. And, of course, you're like one of those people that don't take no for an answer, correct?
Correct. That is absolutely right.
And, it's funny because I have a little saying. I say, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. So that must be your saying, too.
Yeah. If not now, when? If not you, who? Right?
Okay. So what did you do next?
Well, then I spent about a year going headlong into positive thinking. But that's when my life really imploded. My partners lost patience with me because I couldn't work anymore. My lifelong best friend betrayed me and not only stole the multimillion-dollar company we had founded and sold it behind my back, he was also seeing the woman I was in love with behind my back.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yep.
So I was a wipeout. I spent about a year doing intensive positive thinking, you know, jump on the stage, high-five your friends, masterminds, vision boards, power words, mantras, all that. It didn't help. I didn't get better. I got worse. I then spent 5 years as exploring alternative medicine. I spent 5 years as a professional patient running up an enormous credit card debt, doing every kind of alternative treatment I could find. You know, we don't have time to get into all of it, but you name it, I tried it. Acupuncture, herbs, osteopathy, cranial sacral homeopathy. You know, I did yoga and Pilates, and I took supplements, and I did cleanses and special diets and machines, and you name it.
Wow.
And I didn't get better. I got worse.
Okay. So what exactly is the formula for miracles?
Well, the formula for miracles I discovered by accident. Because in 2003, I had had an experimental surgery that left my elbow frozen and my right arm was paralyzed.
Wow.
So that was rock bottom. And after about 6 months of not being able to use my arm, I went to go see a friend of mine, Aunt Lauren. Her name was Terry. And Terry had almost been killed by a disease, and this thing called energy healing had saved her life.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked away from like $150,000 a year job to be a full-time healer.
Amazing.
I thought she was nuts, right? But I tried it, and long story short, she spent an hour doing subconscious block clearing with me, did some kind of, you know, meditation, went into a trance, and my elbow went pop.
No way.
And I was like, oh my God, and I could move my arm again. And it was like the surgery never happened. And so that was the first miracle of many.
So and do you call this the law of attraction from The Secret? Or
the law of attraction is a part of it.
Okay.
And what I learned was pretty simple, that I was so amazed by this. It literally changed the path course of my life in that instant. But I have to admit, I was terrible at this stuff. I started going to all these different incredible teachers and masters and gurus and healers and intuitives. And I went through their trainings and did sessions with them and all this stuff. And you know what? I was awful. I was the worst of the worst. You may think that, oh, Brent, you know, you got this super high IQ and MIT education. Oh, this should have been easy for you. It was just the opposite. I was so stuck in my head that I was awful. But because I was so bad, I had to figure it out from basic principles.
Right.
And so the formula for miracles results from me spending a decade reverse engineering the masters.
I was just going to say, you're almost too smart for the...
That's right.
It's right there in front of you. It's like, well, I'm no, too smart for that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That it's not a blessing. It's kind of a curse.
Yeah.
So what is the secret, Brent, to discovering one's life's purpose? Because I think that really is the key to success.
Sure.
You know?
It's actually very simple. In order to understand what your purpose is, first you must understand exactly what you are.
That's interesting.
Once you know what you are, I guarantee your purpose, and even questions such as what is the nature of God, is life governed by fate or free will, those answers will become obvious once you know what you are, and that's what I call awakening. And so
when you say what you are, okay, meaning what our purpose is, what our lesson is here on life, what our skills are, what do you mean by that exactly?
Well, one thing I learned in science and engineering was finding the answers isn't usually the hard part. The hard part is asking the right question.
And
most people are asking the wrong questions. So it's the right question is, what am I? What is this awareness that you think is you that sits in your head that has thoughts and memories and experiences and makes decisions? Once we know exactly what that is the nature of you. And that is the pathway to higher consciousness. That is what they call the beginning of the end of suffering.
Right.
That is the foot in the door to enlightenment. And what we think we are is what is often called the ego or the false I.
Wow.
And I had been a full-time healer for almost 10 years before I started to understand this.
Interesting.
And what most of us think we are is some separate being. We think we're a human or a man or a woman or a soul or a spirit incarnating. That is all incorrect. What we are is totally different than any of that.
Well, I like that you have the word understanding in the title, because I think a lot of times people are just, I don't want to understand it, I just want to do it.
That's right.
And I'm going to plow forward. And I think you have to stop and learn a little bit about it or whatever you're doing before you, so you understand.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's why Yogananda said to us, there is no enlightenment without understanding.
Yep. I agree.
Interesting. Let me ask you, if we could go through the steps as we are, you know, for our listeners who are kind of going, still don't understand it 100%, what are we going to learn in your book? And, of course, I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We're talking with Brent Phillips, and we're talking about the formula for miracles. I mean, it's very simple, but it's understanding it, correct?
It is, and at the core, it's very simple, is to recognize that we are all run by what I call the software of the soul, the subconscious mind. That everything that happens in our lives, we are actually creating it, but it happens unconsciously. So every experience you have, the amount of money you make, your job, where you live, your relationships, your mood, your health, you are actually creating unconsciously. And so the formula for miracles is all about learning to unlock that, to take control of it so you can start creating your life more in the way you want.
Interesting.
One of the secrets is the theta brainwave.
Say that again?
It is the theta brainwave.
Okay, and what do you mean by that?
Now, the theta brainwave is the gateway that opens up the subconscious. It allows us to access this incredible power that is normally off limits.
Okay.
And the challenge is most of us only go into the theta state when we're asleep and dreaming.
Interesting.
And so with the right technology, you can quickly learn to move your brain into a theta state when you're awake and conscious.
Okay.
And when you do that, you have full access to all of your power. You can literally rewrite the code that creates your life.
Wow. Interesting.
And that is the essentials of how the formula for miracles works. And that's exactly what Terry did to me that caused my elbow to instantly heal. That's exactly what I did with my mother. She was given a death sentence in 2010, cancer.
Mm.
45 minutes of using these techniques with her, her cancer went into 100% remission.
Wow. So
and her oncologist was shocked. He had never seen anything like
this. Reprogramming your brain.
Yes.
Because your brain and your mind tells your body what to do.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Not only that, I do believe it interfaces that to the law of attraction and brings everything into your life.
So when you are quietly thinking of things, you're quietly praying for things. And I remember, you know, my mom used to say, when you get those thoughts in your head, cancel, 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 you know?
Yep.
Because if you keep it there, it's going to, you know, it's almost like be careful what you wish for. It will become on your plate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you have to remain in a very positive state so that you're always, you know, bringing the universe, because that's what you're asking for.
But I want to take it one step deeper and
please
answer the question, why do I have those thoughts?
Okay.
And the answer is simple. They're coded into the subconscious.
Wow.
A lot of it is genetic. They're inherited beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is childhood experiences. But the way we react to things is simply subconscious programming.
Mm.
That the mind gives meaning to what happens and creates an emotional reaction in the body.
Very interesting.
When you can change the code, you can change your thoughts and change how you feel.
Wow. So is this a practice that you do? Or tell me what we can share with my listeners.
Sure. What I would love to do is to give everybody my book for free. If you want to go buy it on Amazon, you're welcome to.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. I'm happy to do that. Happy to sell you my book.
Okay.
Anybody that wants it for free, you can just hop onto my website at awakeningdynamics.com, and a little box will pop up. You know, you just put in your first name and email, and I do a webinar. I'm doing one next week,
mm-hmm.
Where I'm going to explain this in more depth and lead everybody through some experiential processes.
Ooh, I
want to show everyone how to talk to their subconscious. I will do some block clearings and instant subconscious downloads.
Where are you going to be? Anybody can be anywhere, because
yep,
it's going to be
online.
A webinar. Okay.
Yep.
Perfect.
All done online.
Okay.
And we'll be there live, and I'm going to actually walk people through the processes.
Okay. And where are you located?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay.
But all of my trainings are broadcast online.
Okay, great.
So there's no need to travel. You can take everything I offer without ever leaving your office or your desk. Yep.
All right. I'd love to get you in the studio sometime. I think that would be really
cool.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right. So with this, leave us with one positive thought that we can really change our thinking.
One thing I want to let everyone know is that we all live in prisons constructed out of what we think we know.
Interesting.
And if we're willing to be wrong about things we think we know, life can unfold beautifully.
Wow.
And my life was a train wreck because I thought I knew so much.
Huh.
And
you almost had to untrain yourself.
Yes, it's that simple.
Wow.
So if we're willing to let go of these things we think we know, that you're a failure or a loser or unlovable or whatever it is, if you're willing to be wrong about all that, that's the step to the miracle. That's the gateway to higher consciousness.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. I love that. Brent Michael Phillips, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, the Understanding Part One, the Formula for Miracles. I'm so grateful for your journey of you sharing what you went through and how now you're trying to give back and help other people. So again, give out your website one more time.
Sure. It's awakeningdynamics.com.
There you go. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. All right. We are at the end of our first show. And, of course, we've got a whole nother show that is going to be amazing. Of course, I always end our shows with a moment of happiness to make a difference in someone's life. You don't have to be brilliant, rich, beautiful, or perfect. You just have to care. With that, stay with us. I also want to – do I have 2 seconds? Yeah. I want to also mention we've got an author, and we've got some local authors, Marianne Radini Spencer. This is all happening Sunday, February 11th, 2 to 3:30 at the Brim Hall Library. And so we've got Marianne Radini Spencer, Lady in the Window. We've got Linda Bala is her book, A Voice from Old Hawaii. And then we've got James Francis Gray, and his is Kali, Your Code Name. And then we've got Sheila Lowe, Dead Right. And all these amazing artists are going to be, and authors are going to be, February 10th from 2 to 3:30. And just want to really share that. And, of course, that is over on Main Street at the Foster Library. So with that, we are at the end of our show, and I hope that you stay with us because we've got some amazing guests that are going to be joining us. And again, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We'll be right back.